Yeah. I'm right back at it with my brother Jay Dutch. Fresh new trash for the family, what the fuck? My man Big Derek, but we call him old school. About to get up on the mic and straight up act the fool. Ain't no fiction here, cause we only talking facts. If he's talking about the bucks, he don't cut him no slack. No need to waste time, and let's get right into it. What the fuck podcast, ain't nothing to it but to do it. Yeah. About to turn it over to my man old school with the what the fuck podcast. Check it, yo. Nothing can stop us, man. It's what the fuck. It's what the fuck. Yeah. It's what the fuck. Yeah. It's what the fuck. Nothing can stop us, man. It's what the fuck.
Old School's a hack and does this out of his poker room in Valrico. You would be right on all those accounts. Welcome to whatthebuck.net. It is good to have you here. We are live from Studio 76. I am joined once again, as we have been repeatedly this season, almost 100% of the time, by Mark Cook of PewterReport.com fame. And what I was saying, I was slobbering all over him conceptually, because this is a non-trivial thing to interrupt his family life and come over here and do the podcast live to get that extra energy that you can get by being co-located. So I definitely want to thank him for doing that. And it's been great this season having you with me, Mark.
Yeah, I feel like I'm your co-host. And we've started putting up the podcast on our website as well, and yep. I'm just going to make a confession that I call it the Pewter Report and What the Buck podcast in the title. I kind of hijacked it from you. So
it's hard to believe that you guys would hijack something.
Wait, you're thinking of our competitors.
Well, there's lots of hijacking going on. Let's not get it twisted. There's a lot of liberal usage going on.
At least I'm not calling it the Pewter Report podcast with
featuring
with
guest.
With guest. Derek Fournier.
Listen, I don't care what you call it, man. When I was on, and I mentioned this in the break.
How are the numbers this year?
I don't look at the numbers anymore. I don't care.
Really?
I haven't paid attention.
People ask me all
the
time how many people listen. I said, I don't
know. We typically have 3,000 to 4,000 downloads of the podcast.
Really?
Yeah.
Why are we selling this thing?
Because that's not what we do it for.
I do.
Yeah, well, I appreciate that.
So anybody out there is interested in sponsoring the Pewter Report podcast with occasional guest Derek Fournier, let me know. Mark at PewterReport.com.
No, it's very interesting because, that's typically our numbers. I was talking to Brent last night because when people start up a podcast, and I went through this with Chris from Buck's Brief Podcast, there's a fixation on numbers, and I was that way too when I started.
Sure.
And you want to see the growth and those sorts of things, and we've been fortunate over the last decade or so to have shows where we had 70 people in chat rooms, and when we really suck, people get really interested, and when we're really good, people get really interested. Middle of the road, people don't get very interested. But the reality is this show was started as a form of catharsis and a way to talk to like-minded people, which was kind of a goal to have a water cooler that spanned the globe. And that's where we've gotten. And to be honest, we do what we do. Other people come and go, as has been the case for the better part of a decade. And everyone thinks they've got the brand new style that no one's ever tried before. But the reality is there's nothing new under the sun. And that people come back for content because it's been good content for the better part of a decade. And that's why you're such a nice addition to the show. So welcome. And welcome to all of our chat members over in the chat room. We appreciate you guys coming in here. We know there's a lot of things going on tonight with Thursday Night Football. And apparently, Mark, this is sort of breaking news. There is a color rush matchup where the jerseys and outfits, uniforms, helmets, the whole nine, don't just suck.
I don't believe that.
Yeah, and I would turn on that television I have from 1943, but I'm so embarrassed by it, I put a damn door over the thing. So I'm not even going to turn it on, but allegedly...
You haven't taken it out yet. Well, what are you going to do with it? You're going to have to take it to a recycling place.
I'm
you can't
going
even
to throw it
away.
At you, is what I'm going to do.
No, I don't know that you could hold that thing. Those things weigh
that thing is heavy
ton.
As hell. That is a fact. It is heavy as hell. But at any rate, I hear that the uniforms are good. The neat thing about tonight's podcast, guys, is, and we haven't done this for a while, is it's after a win. It's after a win. Just win, baby.
Yeah.
We both predicted a win last week for the Bucks.
I don't think that I did.
Yeah, you did.
Are you sure?
On this show, you did. Now, I know that you predicted, you change your prediction
depending on
who you speak to, which gives you a better chance of being right, which is great. But a road division win, as Chris Oxendine just said in the chat room, listen, I get it. We are in a state, and by we, I mean the Buccaneers. I know that really ruffles your feathers, so I want to make sure that I emphasize I use the personal pronoun. We are in a state of injury, depletion, staggering into the bye week. This bye week could not have come at a better time. In fact, if there wasn't a bye week, I suspect that Coach Cutter would be trying to bribe people to move the bye.
Yeah. They needed this break. And I was trying to think back, and I guess I don't know even how you would go back and look to confirm it, but I don't remember a year in my recent memory where the Buccaneers had this many key injuries this early in the year.
No. No, and we've always had, seemingly anyway, a lot of injuries, and it's been a frustration point for fans. And it always brings in the question, well, what about the trainers, and why can't our guys stay on the field? And Gerald doesn't know how to tackle. That's why he's always messing up.
We realize what happened. It's because Dirk moved the practice time to the morning, see?
That is clearly the problem.
That's Dirk's fault.
Without a doubt.
They got too they didn't get hot enough as if it were a Lovie Smith practice. So Dirk's
– toes on the line, man.
Yeah.
Listen, I don't want to hear any crying about that, but I'm just kidding. But, yeah, I mean, the injuries have been just monumental. And looking at this game, and we were fortunate enough to go and watch this game at Seminole Hard Rock with you guys at the Pewter Report Watch Party. We had a nice crowd that came out there, had a good time with the food specials. I got to – listen, you guys all know that I'm an asshole. It's well known in the podcast community.
Confirming that.
Absolutely confirmed. That burger special, that Old Bay, whatever the hell it was called, was absolutely delicious. It was,
and I know people might say $20, but you get the
burger,
two beers, and fries, right?
Yeah.
And it's a legit crab cake. It's not the fake crab meat that you get. It's a legit lump crab cake on top of a burger.
Yeah, it was good stuff. And if you guys are local, you know, we've got another watch party coming up that we're doing with our partners that we've got to do at Ferg's. We were already committed to that, so we're going to do that one. But when we're not committed to a watch party, you know, we will definitely be taking that in. It was a good time. I'm not a Hard Rock guy by nature. I find it very strange that they can build a casino that overlooks the beautiful Orient Road Jail and charge $180 a night for hotel rooms there. And
Have you not looked at the actual prices?
I looked once. It was $180. Is it more than that now?
Significantly.
See, that just makes me cry. My soul just died a little bit if I have one.
But if you spend enough money, you don't pay anything.
Oh, that's awesome.
That's the great part.
The great thing is I can see guys working out in the yard. At any rate, it was a great time.
I've been in that yard.
I bet you have.
In 1990,
I bet you were popular in that yard.
In 1997, I'm going to make a confession. Oh. I spent 4 hours at Orient Road Jail for the terrible victim-shaming, close-to-murder charge of fishing without a license. So for all you people out there who fish, you can be arrested for fishing without a license, and you will go to Orient Road Jail. Not always, but
any listener out there who can get his mugshot.
It's online. I pull it
get
up all the
Cook's
time.
Get Cook's mugshot.
No, let's
stat.
Not. No, please. It's 1997. I have a Backstreet Boy haircut.
Oh, my God. We must have this, and we must meme the hell out of it.
No,
folks.
Do not.
In
all seriousness, please. Scott will kill me. No, let's not do that. Please.
It's public record. What
you can
do?
Look at it if you want, but let's not throw it out
now
there all
over
social
media.
Now
you're acting like you're a prom date. Well, you can look. But, oh, anyway.
Yeah.
All right, let's talk.
Point is, actually, let me just clarify that.
Sure, no problem.
I didn't technically get arrested for fishing with a license. What I didn't do is pay my fine. And so then they sent the warrant to my house in the mail. And I thought they were, you know. I called them.
This
I'm
is
like,
just baloney.
I'm like, are you guys serious? And they said, yes, sir. And I said, does that mean somebody's actually going to come to my house and pick me up? They said, well, probably not. However, if there's an officer serving warrants in your area, he very well could knock on your door. I said, I'll be there Saturday morning.
If you are conveniently located.
To surrender myself. And as I got to the jail.
Oh, I bet you surrendered yourself.
Look, it was fishing without a lot. I mean, you know, it wasn't that bad. But I got there on a Saturday morning and all the DUI Friday night drunks. And if anybody, and I know there's somebody out there who's been in Orient Road, they take you in this huge room, men, women, everybody. They're just laying on the floor in their own vomit. And it's not like you see on TV where they throw you in a cell right away. They actually did put me in a cell to process me. But very interesting thing. I spent about 4 or 5 hours there. My wife dropped me off. She went to the mall shopping and told her to, you know, pick me up around noon. And did the whole mugshot thing and the fingerprints. But the point is, as I was getting there, I literally prayed. I was like, Lord, please don't let me run into anybody I know. I walked through the door, sitting at the front desk. Hey, Mark, how are you? You here to see somebody?
Oh, my God.
Friend of my parents, Sandy Capitano.
Pastor's wife. Tell me this is a pastor's wife.
Something close.
Oh,
you know,
this is the greatest
up,
story
the,
in
great
history.
Up in Little League baseball together. Her and my dad and mom were good friends. And I was like, I'm not exactly here to see somebody. She says, what did you do? I handed her the warrant. She goes, I hate to do this, Mark. And she called the deputy up, and they came, and he said the same thing. He goes, I got to do this. Literally had to put me in handcuffs to walk me around to the processing area out of the front lobby. So, and then on the way out.
That wasn't enough.
On the way out, after I go through all of this, I'm like, okay, I'm home free. Here comes they aren't my relatives, but my uncle's brother and his family were coming, and they were there to see somebody, and they see me walking out. Hey, Mark, what are you doing here? Did you come up here to see blank and blank? I don't want to mention this person's name. And I was like, not exactly. So anyway, yeah, that's a true story. So what did I do today?
You went fishing.
I went fishing.
Did you have a license?
No, I didn't have a license.
You civil disobedience demonstrating cat. You and Colin Kaepernick, man.
Well, I kneeled. Like I kneeled the entire time.
Oh, well done.
No, I didn't. And we were actually mullet fishing with a cast net, so you don't need a license for that.
Oh, okay,
actually, you know what? I have no idea. I could have probably been in jail again tonight. I don't know. But anyway.
If you go to jail, I will bake you a cake with a file in it. Not, please stop banging on the table.
No, I'm knocking on wood that was the only time I go to jail.
All right. Well, hopefully.
Hopefully.
Now, speaking of jail, I can't make
is
a transition.
Is the show over yet?
No, we haven't even started. We've been too busy talking about
your
felonious
past. We're
going to
talk about
ASJ? We could do.
Same thing, Orient Road.
Who does he play for?
J-E-T-S.
Jets. Yeah, him and Corey Long.
Yeah.
No, let's talk about this Buccaneers team. And I'll
can
I'll
you edit out that whole thing?
No, I mean I can, but I'm not going to. It was Radio Gold. I mean, if we could have done that on 98.7 The Fan, you'd still have a show.
I think I might have. No, I didn't, because people would have pulled it up. I'm
that
sure.
was good stuff. So the Buccaneers stagger into Carolina against a team that is staggering themselves, coming off of the Super Bowl appearance and the pimp smack that they got by the Broncos. They still haven't been the same. Cam Newton, I don't think he knows what day it is. The mighty Derek Anderson steps up under center, 2-0 against the Bucs, his only two starts. All of the Twitterverse is a tweet about how we can't play against backup quarterbacks. We've got defensive line guys who I am pretty sure don't have real jerseys. They were just using someone else's. That wasn't their real name. And Dirk Koetter comes out and controls, what was it, 14 of 15 minutes in the first quarter, Mark?
Yeah,
something
that was
damn
crazy.
Near that. With Jacquizz Rodgers, who we talked about. He was my predictive MVP on offense, and I will break my arm, pat myself on the back with that one. Jacquizz Rodgers shows up, and the Bucs are able to dictate. Now, we were watching the game vaguely together. You were over the booth,
right.
And I was at the table. We were roaming about and doing our thing. But this was one of the ugliest games I've ever witnessed. Right, it was an ugly, mm-hmm. nasty, gross, uninteresting, unsexy game, with the exception of the four-play drive for a touchdown in the third quarter.
Dirk Koetter will say this. He's never going to apologize for a win in the
never.
National Football
and
League.
And I get it.
And you shouldn't, yep.
Totally get that, right?
But I totally agree with you. It was a difficult game to watch. And listen, for a product that has been struggling in the ratings, boy, was that the worst. I mean, do you think Monday Night Football picks the Bucs for a game again next year?
But do I care?
I mean, you can't blame the Buccaneers, per se, for this. I mean, obviously Cam Newton's the draw, and ratings have been down.
Sure.
But it was, I think I
read,
the worst Monday
Kaepernick.
Night football
that's
game in
Monday
10
Night
years.
Football's
of course,
down.
Of course.
Because of God.
Yeah.
I don't know. Country, something. But the game was ugly. It was absolutely ugly. But I'll take an ugly win over a pretty loss any day. Now, have you had a chance to talk to any of the guys? I mean, it was a Monday night game. Here mm-hmm. we are. Have you had a chance to be in the locker room?
Yeah, on Tuesday.
So what? And
maybe
I hate doing
I
hate doing
remember.
This CNN transition about what's the temperature at One Buck Place. But this is a team who is reeling, coming off the losses, trying to find an identity. You know what did you? Was there a palpable difference in the locker room? And
yeah.
If so, can you describe who you sensed that from?
Yeah, and the guys. This was okay. Dirk's press conference was at 4:45, maybe 5:45, and then they didn't open locker room till like 7:30 that night, 7:15. Something like that.
So there were three of you left?
There were a handful, not many, but I was there but here's the deal: the players had to come in for meetings and they're off for 5 days. So needless to say, not many of them stood around and hung around. They came through, got their stuff, and hauled ass. So, but did talk to, who did we talk to? this is terrible. It was so long ago, just 2 days ago. I saw Adam Humphries. We saw Brent Grimes. I actually talked to Brent Grimes.
That'd be an interesting one.
I really haven't talked to him since training camp.
Sure.
And I got a chance to talk to Brent Grimes. We'll have a story up on that this weekend at
some
point.
Not a story about his IRS default, right?
I didn't even hear about that.
Yeah, I read that one tonight. Apparently the house down in Miami is 2014 taxes. They put a lien on his house down there. They're at $191,000 in the hole with the IRS.
Well, that's nothing when you're making
$16.5 million contract.
Yeah,
he's probably going to be okay.
Yeah, and you probably negotiate that down a little bit, too.
Oh, yeah.
But he should call our tax attorney on PeterReport.com. You'll have to go to the
you.
Website. In
you're
fact,
so
I
sweet.
Should hand him the business card. But anyway, talk to Brent Grimes, handful of other guys, and I haven't transcribed many of those quotes yet, but But just from the guys, you could tell they were excited. They were excited for 5 days off. They needed this break from a mental standpoint, also obviously from a physical standpoint. Problem with an early bye week, though, is then you've got to grind. You know, you've got, what, 11 games without any break coming up.
I just did the math. It's 11.
Although.
Yeah. Unless you make the playoffs. And then it's more.
Yes, and nobody's going to complain about that. But, yep. You know, the good news is there is that Thursday night game, which will give them kind of a little bit longer weekend, too. So there is a little bit of a break, but they're going to have to come from a Sunday to a Thursday, which is not easy. So there's a trade-off there. But everybody, you know, was super excited. I mean, Brent Grimes wasn't super excited. He's such a low-key guy. You know, not a boisterous, loud talking kind of guy. I mean, you know, pretty confident, cocky on the field, but sure. You know, in person, he's really kind of a quiet guy. He has someone else doing most of his talking for him. But anyway, you could tell Dirk when he walked in, you know, had a different mood when he walked in for his press conference. It was like a sense of relief in a sense, because as you know, Derek, and we've seen this team go on long losing streaks going back to 2011. It just wears on you. And even going back to Shanno's second year when they started off the year 0-8, and you know, when you start losing, you start wondering if you're ever going to win again. And we actually had people, you know, I read some stuff on Twitter, maybe even our message boards, where, you know, people were saying, can this team win another game this year, you know, after the Denver game? And obviously I thought that was crazy and way premature to say that. Of course they're going to win some more games. But it was nice to get that, you know, monkey off their back. And you could definitely tell the few players that we did talk to were very excited and happy to have the time off, but also happy to come out of there with a win. And listen, I'm not trying to take away from the win, but if Cam Newton plays in that game, you know, you don't know what happens, but you got to feel that it's going to be a little more difficult time because of the added run threat there. But does Cam Newton's game change from now on? I know that was a topic on ESPN.
Yes.
You know, does his game change now? I mean, in the concussion protocol, and you just can't, you know, and he's taken a lot of hits over the years. He's run the ball since his rookie year. So, you know, he's going to have to adjust some things, I think. Mike Shula's going to have to adjust some things. So, you know, maybe it doesn't change had he been able to play in that game. I don't know. But it doesn't matter. They played with who they had. The Buccaneers were certainly depleted on that defensive line. They recorded zero tackles for loss, zero sacks, and zero quarterback hits. But you know what? They did enough.
Yep.
They did enough. And Jonathan Stewart, be damned if he wasn't in the game. Who cares? Doug Martin went in this game. Listen, I wrote this in the Monday mailbag, which came out on Tuesday, the special edition.
Look at that.
And
there's a curveball for you.
Pewter Report Monday mailbag on Tuesday. Make sure you read it on Wednesday, and if you haven't, check it out on Thursday.
I will gladly pay you Thursday for a cheeseburger today.
But I thought to myself, who after, just go back to week one after that win in Atlanta, who in the world, and this is, I don't even need to say the question, but think about the magnitude, not the magnitude, it's not the right word I'm trying to say, but the craziness that after that win, who would have ever guessed that, you know, 4 weeks later, they're starting a guy running back who was not even on the team at the time. And he has 100 yards rushing. I mean, you know, it's a crazy thing. And we may look back at this win and say it helped kind of salvage a season. I don't know. Now, if they go get blitzed in San Francisco when they come back, you know, this win means nothing. But at the same time, they needed it. They're happy they got it. And I know Buccaneer fans, that, you know, that's the one thing that we heard the players say, and I think you said it even after the game the other night, is, it's nice to go into a bye week, not 2 weeks of the chatter of constant, you know, this team sucks, they're never going to win a game, fire Dirk, all of those things. And the players mentioned that too. It's just going to make this 5 days off for them that much better.
You throw a little bit of water on those flames, right? There's still some unsettling things going on. There's still people unhappy about various things. Fans and media will all find things to bitch about at times. But when you do go into that bye week off a win, especially one where you can – and it's not spin. When you talk about the fact that you're playing with guys who, you know, shouldn't have been on the team, more or less, but they were out there in starter minutes, it's a good thing to see going in there. And we talked about a little bit, you know, when I used to coach basketball, sometimes when your shooters are off, get them to make a layup. Mm-hmm. Prove that there's a basket there, and then a ball can go through it. And so you've got to prove you can get a win.
Don't you think that's kind of what Dirk did a little bit with Jameis, too?
Absolutely. That's what you do with the quarterback all the time. You set up easy throws.
Yep, and I think that was important. I know that some people were complaining about Jameis, you know, missing open guys. And we were, too. We were at the game. We're like, how do you miss that? Trent Dilfer, I know some people are skeptical when Trent talks, you know, how can a guy who was a mediocre at best quarterback, you know, but I like his commentary. And I think I mentioned this on the show. In fact, I did last week. But I listened again to him on with Ron and JP on Monday or Tuesday morning or Tuesday afternoon. And, you know, Trent said, listen, I'm an unabashed Jameis supporter. He's known Jameis since 17 with his quarterback thing that he does, his Elite Eight and all that stuff. And he said, but yes, Jameis isn't the most accurate guy in the world, but Dirk Koetter is asking him to make big boy throws.
Okay? Oh, yeah.
And he says, and I'm not knocking Tom Brady. Tom Brady's a great quarterback, a Hall of Famer. Tom Brady came back, lit things up stat-wise. But Trent said, look at where the distance of those passes traveled versus what Dirk Koetter asked Jameis Winston to do the other night. Now, those were shot chances. They were going to run the ball, and they were going to try and take some shots and set some things up. And there are throws like that that Jameis has to make, and he'll be the first to tell you that. But it's easy for us as fans and in the media to sit back and see him like, well, I mean, you know, Mike Evans was wide open. How do you miss that? Or, you know, but we don't always see the surrounding things, the pressure. We don't see, you know, a team that maybe disguised their coverage at the last second. And we don't realize the complexity sometimes of what he's asking, you know, a guy to do. I mean, again, you and I can sit here with a football during the show, toss it back and forth, and complete, you know, 99 out of 100 passes, but they're 2-yard passes.
Sure.
You know, some of those throws that Jameis missed, you know, were 25-yard outs and things like that. Not easy throws to make. Now, again, he's got to be better. If he's going to make that jump to an elite quarterback at some point in his career, those are the throws that he has to make because the elite quarterbacks tend to make those throws. But let's be honest, Dirk Koetter is not asking him to dink and dunk the ball down the field. And, you know, even the ball that he threw into double coverage, you know, that then they ended up running it on 3rd and 9, you know, that guy, Evans was held up at the line of scrimmage by the quarterback. He had already beat that guy earlier in the game on a double move. Same thing.
Stutter go.
Now, granted, Jameis may not have seen the safety. I can't imagine him not because it was a cover two. It was pretty easy to diagnose when you go back and look at it.
He didn't care. He knew it was cover two, but it was cover two with press.
But exactly. He assumed that was going to be a 50-50 jump ball with a safety, and you're going to take Mike Evans
without
on that.
The hold. It's not even a jump ball. Right. He's throwing it over the Oompa Loompa that was in front of Mike Evans and underneath the safety, and Mike Evans can either Julio Jones it and stiff arm and get to the end zone or lay down like Torrey Holt.
Again, those are throws that we see, and even John Gruden's like, you know,
Gruden
what are you
was
doing?
Full of shit. Let's get something straight here.
And I wrote that. I'm the one that brought that up to Dirk Koetter in the press conference about it, and he really went off. Not really went off, but you could tell he was a little agitated about that.
Well, and we talked about it that night. Real time, you could watch what happened. If you've got Mike Evans on a 5'8 or whatever the hell cornerback, they talked all night about how their receivers are so tall and our corners are so short. And Mike Evans, this guy might have been able to kiss his belt buckle.
Right.
He was in press. Mike Evans can get off that jam. It's a completion. It's a wrap. Mm-hmm. I don't care what anyone else is doing. Jameis doesn't even have to think about anything. Just throw the ball out there. But he did. He held the entire time. We weren't getting a single call on those all night long. And that's why it ended up looking bad. So all of this other perseveration over what's going on, these guys were in cover two. Probably it looked, anecdotally, I was only able to do like 75% of the coach's film because Game Rewind sucks. But they were in cover two almost all night. Right? And when they did rotate to single high, we took our shots.
Right.
And that was great. And to your point about Jameis, I am also an unabashed fan of Jameis. He has to improve his accuracy. Yep. He has to improve his awareness. And he has to be careful.
I'm sorry. When you say awareness, what do you mean by that specifically? What part of that game?
In my mind, it's a pocket awareness issue. He tries to push the limit a lot. The play where he ends up scrambling left and hits Vincent Jackson coming back on a busted play where his drop, and I'm not sure what the design drop was on that play, but it reminded me of the play two games ago where his drop was too deep and led to the sack that was the fumble. DeMar Dotson had no choice but to hold that guy.
Right.
That guy should not have been. He took a Gaines Adams route, and, you know, RIP Gaines and all that. I don't mean to talk of the dead, but Gaines took a circuitous route to the quarterback. We know that. This guy was looping so far back, Jameis was so deep that he forced that hold, right? And so he just needs to be aware of those things. Okay. I also wish, and I think that this will happen over time. This is one of the things that gets me so excited. This is the chess side of football that I wish more people would get into, right? Especially if you can watch all 22. When you see cover two based on the safeties and you see those corners up on our receivers, you should salivate.
Mm-hmm.
You should be literally almost aroused about what can happen on that play.
Right.
If they're going to stay in cover two and we go into a three receiver set, right, and they don't put someone out there on the slot, Jameis has to be able to see that and go to that guy as a hot and That's when the great quarterbacks become great. That's when they ascend. They can all throw the ball. All of them can spin the ball. Hell, Sean King can still throw a ball through a damn wall, I'm sure.
Right.
It's when they're able to get out there and be a coach on the field and a quarterback, because he's got the heart. There, you cannot question this man's heart.
Sure.
He leads this team by deed and by word, right? He's just got to be able to convert him. When I went back and saw that drive that was like four plays, touchdown, I'm like, why weren't we able to do that other times? Mm-hmm. And we could have. I think that this was just a matter of Coach Cutter going, listen, I can't have this defense out there that long. Right. I just can't do it.
Yeah, that's a good point. And you know what? That's a great point because, you know, nobody was in big fear of Derek Anderson, you know, throwing for 400 yards and running for another 70 or 80 yards. But at the same time, this defense was severely wounded, and we saw them hurting in the fourth quarter.
Oh, yeah, they were definitely hurting.
And you know, why Mike Shula calls a pass play that Brent Grimes intercepts first and goal at the 1 yard line.
Did you really just ask why Mike Shula, former Buccaneers offensive coordinator who was garbage can when he was here.
But he's so much better now than he was. I mean, he's not – I don't recognize him at times.
That was
the
classic when Steve used to be on the show, we used to talk about guru complex. Mm-hmm. You think you're so smart. Oh, you think you're so smart. Look at that play action. We're going to throw – ah, damn it, man. It's an interception.
Yeah.
My dreams are crushed.
Right.
Teddy KGB just took all your money, Matt Damon. All right, so let's look at some of the keys that we had last week, because for the first time all year, all three green. You guys can't see this because we're not doing video anymore, but we had three keys.
Vinny Testaverde can't see that it's green either.
No, and Vinny, he would have had it intercepted. So take some pressure off James by pretending we have a running game was step one. We didn't pretend we had a running game. We had one, which was great. Force a turnover for the love of God. Oh, we did that. Right. When you look at the turnover margin, we should have won this game going away.
Yeah.
Right. And the last was protect the ball, which we did.
Mm-hmm.
There were a couple of guys that really kind of showed up this week. And one guy who I have a huge man crush on and am normally just an ardent proponent of, who I think had one of his worst games. Joe Hawley, is he okay? Did you talk? Because he got pulled out. Was it a concussion protocol thing?
Yeah, we didn't see Joe at all.
Okay, I'm worried. I tweeted his dad to see what was going on. I haven't heard anything back. I love Joe. Mm-hmm. I love what he does. This was not his best game. He was getting thrown around quite a bit.
Yeah.
And when he got thrown around, then he got very angry, which is a Joe Hawley thing. And that's okay. I've got no issue with my offensive lineman being angry. And he was taking some shots in there. And I just hope he's healthy. Now, EDS came in. Oh, he doesn't like that. Evan Smith came in.
Right.
And played admirably, right? He's not a bad backup center, you know, so that's good. But I hated to see that Joe did not have a good game. There are a couple of plays that was just really, really obvious. But then you got Russell Shepard coming in here and playing like a maniac again, right? You got these guys that are contributing. Brent Grimes, who is the favorite whipping boy of Tampa, right? I mean, Jesus Christ, this guy can't do anything right, according to most Tampa fans, because he's getting paid. He makes the tackle on the one and then the pick. If he was a cocky guy, right, there'd be a whole lot of humble pie being thrown around to people. So who did you take away from that game as being the – who made the impact to you? Obviously, Jacquizz Rodgers is going to stand out because of what he did, I think. You had picked Mike Evans as your offensive predictive MVP, and Mike had a good game. Mike had an Evansian game, right?
Right.
He had one drop.
Yeah. Yeah, and I thought Mike played well. You know, I think – I look across that defensive line and I see guys like Akeem Spence, you know, and Will Golston, you know, two guys that have some experience, and then you've got other guys, Channing Ward, and then Lambert, you know, guys that Buccaneer fans aren't even sure who they are at times. You know, I'd love to see Noah Spence out there with a bad shoulder, gutting it out. Really didn't make any impact, but again, those guys for not really putting up the stats. You go back and look, I think a key play in that game came, it was in the fourth quarter. Panthers,
geez.
Yeah, the Rams still were converting first downs, but the Panthers had a third and two and they tried to run it. And Akeem Spence made, to me, the defensive play of the game, when he stuffed the guy and Levante came and cleaned it up.
Yeah.
You know, they were kind of rolling a little bit. You know, they'd found some things. The Buccaneer defense was getting really tired and getting worn down. They were finding some chunks on the ground. That's a huge play. Those are game-saving plays. And, you know, as frustrating as Buccaneer fans get or any football fan when your team can't convert on third and short, you know, you're like, why'd you call that or why'd you do this? You know, I just think that we forget how impactful that was because the Buccaneers got the ball back. And I think, I'll have to go back and look, but I don't know that I can't remember what happened right after that, in other words. But that was a real key stop. I think maybe the score was tied at that point. I can't remember. But anyway, bottom line is, you know, I really, really was pleased with the way that this defensive line was able to play. Again, not making impacts as far as on the stat sheet goes, but doing just enough to keep this team in the game and allow the offense to win it at the end. So that was me. I can't really pick out a specific guy, but
to answer your question, that led to the punt, which led to the final drive, okay, which led to the game.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
that's how impactful that play
was.
Yeah. Right. And what's funny is the game was such a big pile of crap for the most part, right, aesthetically. Mm-hmm. Right. I mean, like Coach Cutter said, and like we've all said, I'll take a crappy win, right, all day, right? We couldn't even remember which series it was.
Yeah.
It was the one.
Yeah.
The
yeah.
series.
Yeah, I knew it was an impactful one, but I just couldn't remember what. But that was huge. I mean, you know, because I think most Buccaneer fans at that point had the, oh, here we go again feeling, because I believe Aguayo had just missed the field goal before that. And you're like, this is just not their night. They're going to find a way to lose it. And Akeem Spence comes up with a huge play to stuff the running back, you know, and keep him from converting, and they have to punt right there.
Now, you brought up the name that we have to talk about. Obviously, he is a polarizing force here in Tampa. His performance or lack thereof has been so startling that many have called for Jason Light's job, even though I don't see how the hell they do that. Roberto Aguayo, you just got to kick the ball. Right now, people have pulled out Sebastian Janikowski's numbers. When I was on the show with Brent Allen on the PureCast last night, we looked at Adam Vinatieri's numbers and Steven Gostkowski's numbers. Interestingly enough, what we found is that first-year kickers, even when they become great kickers, typically hover around 70% their first year. Now, I brought something up with him, and I don't know if you listen to that podcast, but by moving the extra point back and making the extra point when they attempt a kick, an actual, essentially a field goal, we get that many more chances to see field goal kickers miss things that look like field goals.
Right.
So our memory sees a missed extra point. Like, they were so rare in the past, they had to make rule changes, for God's sakes, right? So they were almost automatic, even though in Vinatieri's case, I think he missed 4 extra points his first year when they were in the other location, right? But you just don't even think about it.
Right.
So now you got this guy in Aguayo, but I am scared shitless every time he walks on the field. I have no confidence whatsoever. And then they lined him up on the right hash like he's in college again, which scared me even more.
And he's scared shitless, too. I mean, you know, I'm not going to compare Roberto Aguayo to my 15-year-old high school kicking son, but I'll go back to last year where my son started the year off great. I mean, just couldn't miss. And he had a couple misses. And in the last game of the year, or next to the last game, something like that, he kicked a damn tee. I mean, he was so screwed up mentally. It was a good snap, good hold. Everything was off mentally for him. And I'll tell you, on that last kick, I had no idea where that ball was going to go, and Roberto Aguayo had no idea where that ball was going to go. You play golf, I play golf. We get going, get on the back nine, we get a little tired, we start spraying the ball over the place. Oh, yeah. We get back on the tee, and we're like, screw it, I'm just going to just
grip and rip it,
try and see what happens. And every once in a while, you smoke one down the middle. Well, that was one of his smoke one down the middle. I do not for a second believe that all of a sudden his issues are corrected and that he's going to be smooth and not miss another kick this year. I think he is like us on the golf course where, you know, we're inconsistent and then we start thinking about it. But every once in a while, even in that meltdown mode, in my son last year, even in his meltdown mode, occasionally we kick one right through the uprights. You know what I mean?
Sure.
So, you know, I don't know what it's going to take. Problem is, and I think Dirk mentioned this, you don't have a guy that's a kicking coach. And kicking is very much like a golf swing. People do it differently. You know, what works for some doesn't work for others. I mean, it's just, you know, it's so much mental. But a lot of it, too, is the fundamentals of it. And he's got to figure out what works for him. And you know, and people do forget, and Roberto talked about this, you know, opening up the face of his foot like you do a golf club.
Sure.
And you know, and you can push, you can hook, all of those things. So, you know, I don't know when it's going to come for him. I believe it will because he has talent. We know that. That's not a question. And I will say this. He's not a flaky, you know, I forgot who said this. I think it was Rick Stroud when we were talking there before Dirk's press conference. No, it was Martin Finley, who said maybe his best attribute is that he doesn't understand the magnitude of him missing these kicks. He doesn't. He doesn't – you don't see him on the sideline like some kickers where they immediately after they miss, they go over there and they start kicking in the net. And you could see him stressed out and they're doing – he's just over there sitting talking to Brian Anger after those missed kicks. You know what I mean?
Right.
And, you know, he says it – you know, he says it when he misses. Yeah, you know, I'll get it. I'll figure it out. You know, my team support me, those kind of things. In the meantime, Dirk Cutter's losing his mind and Jason Light is tight – his neck is – I'm sorry, his tie is getting a little tighter around his neck. I don't know that Roberto understands that, and that's okay. That's probably a good thing. I think Martin made a good point on that, if that makes any sense. He just, you know, we can't tell from a media standpoint that this guy, like Kyle Brinza last year, when he started missing kicks, and we talked to him in the locker room,
yeah, he knew.
This guy was, you know, wound up tighter than Dick's hat, man. Well, I was not like that, so maybe that bodes well for him in the future.
Well, and you know, we can fixate on the kicking situation, but like you said, there's no magic to it, right? Guys kick. And it's frustrating, and in the chat room, I think it was Ren or King Brutal just said, you know, the NFL commissioner should be looked at for changing the where they kick their extra points. It's making even good kickers miss. Nothing should make good kickers miss.
Yeah.
They have one job. That's right. Like a punter. A punter who shanks the ball at the NFL level is not an NFL-level punter. You just don't do that unless you're playing in 43-mile-an-hour winds and, you know, coming off of the water in Pittsburgh.
Yeah. Right?
Generally speaking, your job is relatively clear. Go do it.
Mm-hmm.
You should become automatic,
mm-hmm.
And it's not there yet. But the team is able to adjust. The thing is,
everyone, you know, even the best punters are going to shank one every once in a
while.
Sorry, Karis. You know, and you're gonna miss a field goal every once in a while. But, you know, how do you bounce back from that? And does it become an issue? And then how do you get it corrected? The problem with Roberto Aguayo is he's never had these struggles, so he doesn't have any idea how to correct it.
Right.
And there's not anybody on that staff that can say, hey. You know, now again, I'm going to go back to my son. He went to the FSU kicking camp this year, this summer, and Ricky Aguayo, Roberto's brother, happened to be his coach for his age group. And they kicked, and they put it on film, and then they went into the coach's meeting room, and they broke the film down. And Ricky made a good point. Occasionally, you can spot something, right?
Mm-hmm.
But normally, it's going to come from another kicker.
Absolutely.
And Ricky told Douglas, you know, his distance, but he wasn't quite bringing his leg back. His hammer wasn't cocked back far enough, in other words. And Douglas gets home and immediately changes that, and he's adding 10 to 15 yards to his distance. And, you know, I don't know that it's that simple for Roberto, and maybe he's going to have to look at the film and figure it out himself. But you know, he's got to get it figured out because – again, if he's not a second round draft pick, there Robbie Gould or whatever his name is already here, right?
Right.
I mean, they've got every free agent kicker on the market over here kicking at One Buccaneer Place on Tuesdays, on their tryout days, and so you know, but they've got a lot invested in this guy, and you know, he's going to have to figure it out.
Yeah.
Again, nobody's expecting this team to go to the Super Bowl this year. You know, you got to gut it out, and. He may cost you a win or two. The problem is, and that's what Martin, when we were talking, brought up. He says, well, you know, nobody expects him to go to the Super Bowl. You just deal with him this year. And, you know, if he costs you a few games. I said, the problem with that is Dirk Cutter doesn't have that leash. We don't know the leash the Glazers have on Dirk Cutter. We know the last two coaches only had 2 years. You know, and does this affect Jason Light? So there's a lot of people's livelihoods affected by this guy. I don't know that you can just say that it's okay to lose 4 games over a course of 16 because of a kicker. That would be devastating, and it could cost people their jobs, not just Roberto's, but you know, Dirk and Jason's, for that matter.
The pick has made this a non-discussion point in many ways because, like you said, they're going to stick with him. They're going to have to. Now, whether that makes someone get the trigger pulled on him, that would just speak to shitty ownership, to be honest. If you're going to pull the trigger for that, and that would, you know, cause an echo in the fan base that is already there.
Right.
Right? So the short leashes are ridiculous. I think all of us understand that that's true. But hopefully that's not the case. Now, Brent Allen in the chat room brought up as a devil's advocate point, when I talk about kickers, you have one job. Well, receivers have one job, catch the ball, and runners have one job, run the ball. Yeah, that's true. And I've said that before, too. On the resume of a wide receiver, skill number one, catch the ball. If the ball gets to your hands and you touch it, you're supposed to catch it. I've held that bar. I will always hold that bar. As someone who used to be a quarterback, if I get you the ball, catch the damn ball. Now, if you look at the variables of what a receiver does, though, there's a lot more that goes into it that you cannot predict. The coverage, the velocity the ball comes in, the height, the impact you're going to face, you know, who's going to hit you when you get it. There's a lot of other things. For a kicker, it is almost the same as doing it on the sideline. If that snap comes in and the hold gets down, this is choreography. right? That's what this is. It's choreography for a punter. I happen to hate three-step punters, which almost everyone is now. I'm a Ray Guy two-step punter. It's faster. You don't get them blocked, right? But you get the snap, you kick the ball. If it's a bad snap, I don't blame the punter anymore.
Right.
You know, just like if it was Roberto, if every kick he missed was a shitty snap or a bad hold, we'd be like, oh, man, you know, we need to work on a long snapper or
right.
get someone who can hold the ball.
Right. Well, and you know what? It's a good point. Receivers, running backs, there are multiple things that they have to do. They've got to be able to catch the football. They've got to be able to block. They've got to be able to understand an entire playbook. Kickers don't have to. The kickers literally have to do one thing, and that is to kick. They don't have to block. They don't have to understand the playbook. They don't have to go through meetings with game plans and things like that.
That Penn State kicker has to tackle people.
Well, that's true. And but I just don't, you know, it is true. The kickers have one job, literally, and you know, there are number one things that receivers have as goals and running backs have and offensive linemen have as goals. But there's a multitude of other things they're required to do in addition. And there's just nothing else kickers have to do.
Well, we've beaten up Roberto Aguayo. The reality is we're going to ride it out. Hopefully he's going to be able to get his head on straight and kick the ball well. And you know, I know that you bristled a little bit when Coach Cutter went for two early.
Yeah.
Right? Because he wasn't using the grid that everyone uses.
Right.
And we hadn't really shown a tremendous ability to convert on two-point conversions.
They've looked
and
terrible.
And even on that play,
on those.
We were very fortunate that Adam Humphries.
Yeah, because Humphries barely
his,
got it.
His
yeah.
ass was over the line.
Right, right.
Because it was a close play as it was. But yeah, I mean, I think that those decisions come into it. When you can't trust, we talked about it with Kyle Brinza, and when you can't figure out that when you get into the 30-yard line, you're guaranteed 3 points, your play calling changes.
But Dirk Koetter, at some point, I mean,
you're right,
at some
King
point,
Brutal.
He decided to play for the field goal there on that third and nine run. I don't necessarily buy his, well, we ran the ball on third and three, and we ran the ball on third and four. And by, you know, yeah, but again, the odds, when you look at the statistical odds of converting a third and nine run, I understand, you know, maybe you catch them on a draw play and they're rushing up the field, whatever, but those just aren't good odds. And I believe the odds were better to try and pass the ball for a first down. However, in a sense, he was showing a little bit of faith in Roberto. Or, here's my crazy conspiracy theory.
Oh, my God.
Was saying, you know what? F it. Go out there and miss. I'm sick of this kicker. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? We're going to lose a game because the kicker misses two in the fourth quarter and one earlier in the game. I don't necessarily believe that's true. But at the same time, you know, if that's not the case, then he was showing a little bit of faith in Roberto Aguayo there. Because kickers have to make that. And the thing is, though, if the face mask doesn't happen and push the ball 15 yards forward, you know, how much confidence does Roberto have when he walks out there? And does he make that field goal? It doesn't
sure.
matter. And it was clearly a penalty.
Yeah,
you know, people
absolutely.
Are complaining saying it wasn't, Panthers fans. But
imagine that.
No, I mean, it definitely was a penalty.
Yeah, it was a very low penalty rate on both sides, actually, in that game, which was surprising.
You know what Dirk said about that, though? It's a good point. Dirk said, we had five, but, man, they were the wrong time.
Yeah,
and
we talked about
that.
And he
says we can – We like the fact that we're only five in the game, but the type that we had and the point of the game they had were terrible.
Yeah, and they were soul-crushing, bad timing, stupid in many cases, right? When you talk about the penalties you can eliminate, false start's one of them, right?
Yeah.
That's one of the ones you have to be able to eliminate. By the way, I kind of went on a rant on Petercast last night on Gosser Chariless. He had one block, but outside of that, putting Gosser Chariless in means we're playing 10 on 11. So if you can convey that somehow in a way that will be well received.
I will not be
and
saying
I don't think
that
he's
directly
a bad guy.
To Gosser.
No, he's a big dude, and he's certainly on the play where he got the block, ran downfield afterwards, and tried to be participatory in the play. But outside of that, Gosser, we might as well not have you on the field.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because other than people having to run around you, which does take some time, it's not effective.
Yeah.
So God help us. What's up with Luke Stocker? Are we getting Luke Stocker back anytime soon?
I heard that he had a leg transplant, and
oh,
he should
well,
be good,
good
to go after
San Francisco.
That sounds
terrific.
So now, yeah, I think I really look for pretty much everybody to be back. I think Gerald will be back. Luke, Doug is the one I'm kind of a little concerned about, just because we haven't seen him at all. I've seen pretty much everybody else in the locker room. I haven't seen Doug at all, but you know, I think he was on the sideline in the game.
He was,
and you know, obviously, he wasn't in a wheelchair. So that's a good sign. But I think they'll get most of the, and I think that's part of the reason. I think some of the, listen, if this game were game 15 and the Buccaneers were in the heat of the playoff race, some of those guys would have played. You wouldn't have kept Gerald McCoy off the field with a calf injury. You know, Luke Stocker would have been out there. Doug Martin might have been out there. Ayers would have been out there. Ayers wanted to play 2 weeks ago against Denver. You know, and the staff
said
no.
Ayers wants to play right now. He wants to go play a pickup game.
No, if somebody
and
wants
I love
to play.
That about him.
Yeah.
Yeah, if someone wants to play right now, yep. He will throw on some gear and go play.
How about my guy, Alan Cross, my son?
Your boy got a block that was key.
Very
he
big.
Got a reception that was good.
Yeah.
He has shown improvement. That's terrific. The block, though, I knew when it happened. Very proud of your son out there.
Yeah, he did a good job.
And the chat room has already been making sure you knew about it. but they also want to know, has there been a J.R. Sweezy sighting?
Nothing.
Does he still exist?
That was in the mailbag, too.
Is he the name that shall not be spoken?
Well, I don't know if it's not be spoken. Just people have forgotten about him. And I think part of that is while the offensive line hasn't been outstanding this year, they've been sufficient. You know, I think they've given the Buccaneers a chance to win football games.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, I don't know what J.R. Sweezy does that Pamphil's not doing right now or when, you know, Evan Smith comes in right now. I don't know. I mean, he's not going to go out and take over for Demar Dotson, who I think is having a poor year. And, you know, Donovan Smith's been okay. But I mean, he's guard. That's what they brought him in here for. You know, somebody asked, is he going to get an opportunity when he comes back? Of course he'll get an opportunity, but I don't know that he's going to be back this year. And they may have to look at this as, hey, this is a redshirt year for him. Get healthy, come back next year, see where you fit in. Because, you know, I don't know what the cap ramifications are and all of those things. I'll have to take a look at that. You know, can they cut him after this year and just say, hey, we paid him, you know, a ton of money to you know, not be around? We haven't seen him around one Buccaneer place, though. And normally, you know, injured players that are on the mend, they tend to be out at practice, you know, wearing the floppy hats, watching things. Lewis Murphy hasn't missed a day. And there's a guy that I'm looking forward to seeing come back, and I believe he'll be back for that San Francisco game as well. He told me he will.
You know, it's interesting when you sign a guy that you expect to be an impact player who has a pre-existing injury.
I don't know that it was pre-existing.
You think he got injured here?
Yes, lifting. Same thing that Akeem Spence did when he hurt his back, herniated. I don't know that it's herniated disc. That's the, you know, kind of the speculation and things like that. It could have been, he could have been training at home, something like that. I don't believe that the Buccaneers missed it. I don't think it was a pre-existing condition. I don't know that for sure. We can dig a little deeper.
You should dig on that because that changes, I think. And I'll ask the chat room. Chat room, let me know. Because this has been a persistent bitch about going and getting damaged goods
mm-hmm.
and thinking, oh, we can get them all cooked up and fixed, and then all of a sudden they still suck. And I don't mean they suck as a player
right.
or a person, but they can't get healthy. And
well, they've had some bad luck. Carl Nix, for one.
Right.
Eric Wright is – I don't think he was a very talented corner. I think Dominic way overpaid to bring him in here. But he had the thyroid issue. Again, that was something that happened once he got here. Nix had the MRSA. That was something that happened once he got here. Sweezy, I believe, is the same situation. Believe it was an off-season injury, lifting, a training-type injury, back injury. We know it's a back injury. Don't know
right.
the specifics of it, but guessing from the time frame and the things that are going on, because we've seen him walking around, you know, during training camp he was around, and, you know, guessing, you know, something with a disc. And that's something that, again, Leroy Selman retired from football from, right? Remember, you know, 84 Pro Bowl, herniates his disc out in Hawaii, never plays another game. Medical technology obviously is considerably different. You know that. You're going through things with your back and neck.
I played golf today, all 18 holes, struck the ball well, no problems after not being able to lay on my back for 4 months.
Wow.
So I am ecstatic about it,
right.
to be honest.
Well, that's good. You know, and we need to get JR to whoever you saw.
Yeah.
But I believe that's what it is. I don't think the Buccaneers missed anything. I don't think it was a pre-existing thing at all.
Well, it'll be interesting if you are able to push that, because I know that even in training camp, fans were asking about it. It's a consistent thing to see if it was a big deal. And Shuck in the chat room is asking what I did, because some of these guys know me personally off the podcast. Yes, it was a combination of alternative therapies, guys, and I know that some of you will say, oh, that's bullshit. They don't work. Okay. We use essential oils in the house, which I used for anti-inflammation. I had cupping done. No, not the kind that you guys are thinking immediately, and Mark just looked over
Wait
me
a
for.
Second. Every time I come here, you make me go in the bathroom, and I cup you, and you cough. Do you turn your head left or right? Are you telling me that?
It's a totally different thing.
Oh.
That's just recreational.
Okay.
But then I had ozone therapy by Dr. Rucker down in Bradenton, and I got his referral from Davin Joseph and some other players who used his treatment for soft tissue. So there's a lot of things out there, and I am certainly not
You know what? I was getting ready to text somebody about Sweezy, but you know what? these guys deserve their 5 days off.
Yeah, give them
I'm
a break.
I'm not going
to
do it. I'll harass them next week.
I mean, it would be great stuff for you to do on PewterReport.com.
Right.
And we would know that we were participatory in it, and we could learn more about it. And I don't disagree. And Ren Dax in the chat room said it very well. He said, Kevin Pamphile has allowed players or has allowed fans to forget about Sweezy.
Yeah. I mean, Listen, when somebody asked me about it in the mailbag the other day, honestly, I forget this guy's even part of the team. Because, again, the struggles of this football team at 1-3 and now 2-3, I don't pin a lot of it. I mean, it's a team issue, all right, when you lose three games through your first four. But again, it's not like 2013 and Josh McCown was getting his head bashed in every single play. Not 2013, 2014. And so,
he doesn't remember what year it is either.
No, he doesn't. And I actually got a concussion watching. So I'm in the media concussion protocol.
Really? That's a thing?
Yes.
If that's a thing, that explains a lot of the content that I've seen come out.
You know what somebody told me today, my fishing buddy, we were fishing we probably shouldn't bash this medicine, but there's a indigestion medicine that people take. And he said that there are people who that are having issues memory-wise, and there are doctors recommending people get off of these things.
What, Tums?
No, the purple little Nexium type deals.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, so, and I take those, you know, on a regular basis, and I just couldn't remember when 13 and 14 was.
It happens. It's clearly the medicine.
I remember in 1981, my very first Bucks game, against the Denver Broncos when they lost 24-7 and Craig Morton started the game and Cedric Brown returned an interception for a touchdown.
Cedric Brown.
I remember also stopping at the Shop and Go before they were Circle K's, and I remember the mascot for the Shop and Go was like this beaver thing because I had a Shop and Go Frisbee. And I also remember...
Why is he babbling about this
crap? What I'm saying is I also remember that I had Funyuns and a knee-high grape on the way there. My dad let me get a knee-high grape and Funyuns for breakfast that morning, and we went to Chuck E. Cheese in Brandon where they had buses that would take you to the stadium, and there was $2. I remember all of that like it was yesterday.
Yeah, but they're different memories.
But I can't remember.
They're different memories.
What year was
you know, one of the most impactful, and guys that listen to this podcast, you're all like, well, why are you talking about the Panthers game? Because we've already talked about the Panthers game. If you have questions about the Panthers game, ask us.
Snap and clear. But, we forgot about it. We celebrated for a day. Now it's on to the next week.
But this is the kind of extra content you don't get other places. This kind of slice of life stuff. But I remember Steve White.
Shop and Go. I mean, you don't get that on PewterCast Pulse.
No, PewterCast is good.
Kidding.
Come
no,
on.
No, I do. I love Brett. He's a great guy.
Now the
he's a Mulberry guy, right?
I think he is actually South Lakeland is how we call that.
It's North Mulberry.
No, but so when Steve White was on last year, he brought up the thing with the concussion protocol, and he's like, "Listen, man, you know, when I went to Tennessee, I was a good student. I was a very good student. I know what my intellect was."
Mm-hmm.
He's like, "I don't begrudge anything from my career, but I know I am not as intellectually sharp now as I was then."
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, sometimes it is absolutely horrifying what I can't recall.
Yeah.
But there was no pattern to it. Like, he would remember old stuff that was ingrained, long-term memory, and not short-term memory. So, to answer you, Shuck, Steve White is doing all national.
We should talk about the Panthers game.
We'll talk about the Panthers game in a second, but Shuck wanted to know about Steve White. Steve White's doing only national stuff now. He's doing well, though. His podcast is still going with those guys. He's still writing articles, but he has gone away from doing the Bucks focus stuff. As a matter of personal choice, but he's a good egg. We still stay in touch. So, but about the Panthers,
we haven't talked about them.
We
tonight.
Won that game, right?
I can't remember.
I can't remember either. But that knee high grape and Funyuns, that sounded baller.
It was good.
All right, Skulls and Swords. Now you can never remember what's good and what's bad on this one. Swords are good. Skull is a bonehead.
Skulls are kind of badass, though.
They are kind of badass. They're tough. So
you got
a
tattoo of two on my rear
lower back.
That's not true. I don't. I have a tramp.
Roy
stamp.
Orbison.
Actually,
Bob Dylan won the Nobel Prize for Literature today. Did you see that?
Yeah.
No one knows what the hell he said.
Yeah, we can't understand.
It's lucky they were lucky.
Well, I want to read that audiobook.
Yeah, exactly.
He is a baba zebo zebo zebo.
It's not related to Lovey, Chris, but I know that parallel seems pretty striking.
What?
When Steve stopped doing it, stopped covering the Bucks, but at any rate, let's do Skulls and Swords. I think these are easy for me, and I'll pick the obvious ones. I usually try and throw curveballs, but I just don't feel like doing that tonight. Jacquizz Rodgers should receive whatever awards. I hope he gets money under the table. I hope they're throwing whatever they can. Skittles, I know that's not him, but this guy just came and played his ass off, which was great. Now, I don't know how many games like that he's got in him. I know he ran the way I remember Jacquizz Rodgers running in Atlanta. And until Doug can get in healthy with that soft tissue issue in his hamstring, You ride this horse till it bucks you. Remind me to ask the future of Charles Sims with Tampa Bay, because that was a question from the chat room. On the skull side, I don't think there's a choice other than Roberto Aguayo. I think that until he becomes a kicker that you can count on, he's going to continue to be the guy that everyone paints as an asshole, because he is the guy that we're all deathly afraid of. Right. Our hearts are in our throat every time he walks on the field.
Agree with both of those. I'm going
to
go.
Way to add value. I'm
gonna,
good stuff. Way to go. I'm glad I got the editor-in-chief.
I mean, Captain Obvious here. Junkers, Rogers,
well, then dig deeper then, son. Show me all those skills. Talk about your son and how important he was or whatever.
Yeah, I will. He was cheering him on from home while we were drinking.
Not that son. Oh, Cross.
I can't remember. I got two of them. I just showed up as Alan Cross's dad when he made the NFL, by the way. Just totally nice. Showed up. Like, hey,
it's your mugshot, though.
I came out.
The Google search that comes up with Mark Cook as Alan Cross's dad is your mugshot.
I came out of the woodwork like so many do for these guys.
Oh, I bet you did.
But
check, please.
My skull is...
That's a good one. That's a good one.
Is that the bad one?
That's the good... Jesus Christ.
The skull, is a numbskull. See, I got a correlation.
Or
down.
A bonehead.
Bonehead.
The bonehead.
I like to call them knuckleheads. All right, so that one would go to, obviously, Roberto Aguayo. I can't think of anybody who certainly hurt the team worse. The crazy thing was, you know, we do a most impressive, most disappointing list after the game. I already had the picture crop for most disappointing, and I almost wanted to still put him on that list.
Yeah.
You know, but how do you do that with a guy who kicks the game winner? So we didn't.
You do.
You know, and this goes back to the dilemma of Jameis Winston against the Rams. Could have been on the most disappointing and most impressive list. You know, 409,000 yards against the Rams, but 1 of 6 down the stretch, and they, you know, he misses wide open guys, and they lose that football game.
Right.
So, you know, sometimes guys can be on both or shouldn't be on any. Anyway. So Roberto Aguayo there. I can't really think of anybody else that I thought was obviously disappointing other than DeMar Dotson. And you know what? I'm going to go ahead and change that. I'm going to change that really to – no, I'm not. I'm not going to do that. And this goes back to that list too. Zach put the offensive line run blocking on most impressive, and I didn't agree with that. I mean, I thought Jaquez Rodgers
manufactured a bunch of yards.
A bunch of yards.
Those jump cuts he had were pretty damn good.
A lot of plays blown up in the backfield. So – But I'm going to go. I think the offensive line as a whole kind of struggled in this game a little bit more. I think there were some more deep shots the Buccaneers were going to take, and weren't able to because of the offensive line. But again, listen, Carolina's defensive line came to play. They've got outstanding linebackers, so it wasn't going to be an easy task on national TV in front of a hostile environment. So.
Well, when they were blitzing, they were stacking the end. The linebacker was stacking on the diagonal behind the end. It's not a particularly esoteric blitz.
Right.
It's something Jameis saw in college. He's got to be able to see that, and he's got to be able to shift his protection to be able to handle that, because it really was basic stuff. Outside linebacker running off the left, you know, the outside hip of the end. And you can't leave your tackles out there. They can only block one guy. It doesn't matter how good they are.
Yeah.
But that's when I talk about awareness, that kind of stuff. He's got to help with that, right?
But the reason I asked you why you asked that, because I think the other part of the awareness thing is something that he really is very good at. You and I said it. Mike Glennon would have been sacked 4 times in the first quarter or in the first half of that game.
Yeah, he extends plays.
Jameis's ability to see and get rid of the ball at the last second, you know, that awareness to be able to come off of his first, second, third read to find his fourth at times. You know, his awareness of the coverage that the team's playing. But yes, as far as what you were mentioning, as far as awareness, I do agree with that. So my skull, you know, I'm torn between Roberto, but I'm going to go with the offensive line. I don't think they particularly had a great game. And if I had to pick somebody out, it would be DeMar Dotson on that. Although Joe Hawley didn't have a great game. Kevin Pamphill right off the bat missed a block. But anyway, I'm not going to beat them up too bad. I'm going to go with my sword. I'm going to go with Alan Cross.
No, of course.
I'm not going to go with Alan Cross. I'm kidding. I'm going to go with Brent Grimes. You know, Brent had another opportunity in that game to make an interception, a pick six. He's dropped about three this year, so he should have four this year, at least that many. But, boy, he came up with a big play. Been beaten in Arizona. Also, maybe the Rams or one of those teams.
He was supposed to have safety help on one of the Rams. Where
he gets beat, you know, back of the end zone, going up high, not quite able to get up to the ball. He was able to do it in this one. That was something we talked to him about, and he kind of identified that. You know, he kind of saw that play coming. But anyway, he was in a great position. Wasn't the best throw, but anyway, it is what it was. But Brent, that was huge. But again, if he doesn't make that pick, They're probably scoring on the next play because they're going to run. If that ball is incomplete, Ron Rivera is screaming in his headset up to Mike Shula, run the damn ball, and they probably score.
I don't know. Maybe they run like they did on 3rd and 2, and we stop them.
Maybe, but then you got to do it three more times because Rivera is not going to punt and not going to kick a field goal from the 1 yard line.
Graham Gano would yank another one.
Gary, I was thinking
the mighty Gary Gano.
I was thinking of Gary Gano when I hear Graham Gano.
We are old.
The battle of the Florida State shitty kickers that game was.
Well, whatever. Hey, in the chat room, there's all sorts of talk about Hargrave's playing well, but there's a persistent question. And King Brutal gave the skull to Jameis for accuracy in the fumble. But I'll give him credit for getting the fumble back.
Something Derek Anderson didn't do.
Because he straight stiff-armed a 320-pound dude to get that ball back at the bottom of a pile when he gets nasty. But Levante David hasn't been as impactful. And I know that the word dictionary thinks that's not a word, but I'm pretty sure it is. I don't know about OED. But Quan's been playing well. You had predicted Quan was going to be the defensive star of the game. This game wasn't a game focused on linebacker play. Right, but what is your sense about Levante David? Do you feel as though Levante David is maybe taking some steps back, getting to understand this defense, or is it a matter of you're just not going to see that spark the same way you saw it in the past because of the way his role has changed?
I think it's more of his way of his roles changed. I think this defense has, has the Mike linebacker being that kind of impactful guy. But I don't know. I mean, he may still be feeling his way through this defense. I thought in the preseason, in training camp, he was outstanding in training camp. Really was in those practices that I watched. I really thought he was going to have a huge year. I don't know what's going on there. I don't know if he's not being used the way they want to. The way that they should use him. I can't say for sure as far as Levante goes. But Scott and I were talking about that this week, too. He has been, somewhat of a disappointment this year. Again, it's early. It's early in a brand new defense. Let's let 16 play out, and we'll have a better idea because they're paying him a lot of money to produce a little bit. He's on pace right now for 80 tackles, and for a guy who hasn't had less than 100 in his career, that would be a disappointment, regardless of how he's being used. I mean, he still is a linebacker on the field. Hell, I think Geno Hayes never had less than 80 tackles in a season, and I was not a Geno Hayes fan, even though he was a Knoll.
That's hard to believe. All right, well, we've covered our swords and skulls. We've covered our predictive MVPs.
I like
talked
covering
about
my
our keys.
Sword.
It's important. Always cover your sword.
Swords covered. The good thing is it's not a very big sword. And so,
it's more,
and,
more like a dagger.
It would be more like a pocket knife.
A cocktail sword.
It's a pair of nail clippers. It's that little thing that you pull out of the nail clipper to dig the stuff out of your
The magical
out.
Thing that
yeah,
no doesn't one, have a
is,
name.
Does it have a name? We got to
well,
find
a,
that
it's
out.
It's a file and a hook. But I bet Shook knows the name. There's probably a nurse name for that or an EMT name for that. I'm sorry, you're not a nurse, Shook, but you're
he's,
a fireman. But,
he's kind of a nurse.
No,
I call him Florence Nightingale.
At any rate, well, listen, I was going to do a couple other questions. Let me rattle these off for you real quick, Mark, and I'll let you go back and eat your fried mullet or whatever you did with that bony-ass fish that you catch.
That you wanted me to bring you some.
I wanted smoked mullet. I can't imagine fried mullet. There's too many little bones in it.
I fillet them. There is no,
you fillet
there are no
them?
Bones.
Then
I have
why
electric
the hell
did
you
knife.
Bring them?
I had 6 pieces sitting on the stove today. I've got a whole...
This
I got
is the thing.
8 or 9
All
more
right,
pounds
listeners,
of fillets.
Listeners out here, listen, you know I love Mark as a human being. He's a friend of mine. I'm proud to call him my friend. I think he's a great... journalist when it comes to covering the Bucks and a damn good writer outside of that. But damn it, man. You know I eat fried fish.
No, I don't know that.
Dude.
I'm reading your post and you guys are going all paleo and there's no bread and you can't even... I couldn't even stop and bring your boys cookies. I was going to do that and I was like, no, then they'll get mad because they're trying... So I didn't know that. I really, honestly, I thought about it. I thought, Derek's too... I don't know any Hillary Clinton supporters that eat mullet. I'm sorry.
Oh, my God. Listen, I had to avoid the Trump train in Lakeland this week. and I don't mean the Trump train that happened in first class a couple years ago. Boom.
Hey-o.
He was an octopus. Hey-o, I'm here all week. Try the veal. Thomas Sandberg in the chat room just brought up a point, a really important point. So you chat room listeners, you know that there was a wager that when the Bucks won, Mark was going to bring something. It wasn't mullet, which he should have brought because he sucks.
God, mullet and beer go together so good.
You were supposed to bring what?
Some of our very beautiful Two Henry's elderberry cider.
Yes,
I've got
yes,
two
yes.
six-packs cooling in the fridge.
Where? Is it in my fridge?
In my fridge at home. Yes.
So none of the three fridges in my house have this elderberry cider in it.
That's good to know you have three when mine goes out.
I do.
I can borrow one. Okay,
I have one little one right behind me because I'm that lazy.
Yes.
And then I have one in the kitchen.
Is there anything in that one? Because I'm out of
water. We should definitely not open it. It has not been opened in many of the moons.
Is it like an office refrigerator?
It may well be the cure to cancer, or it could be the zombie apocalypse. I'm not sure which.
My dad has always had rental properties as a side thing. And, you know, a lot of times renters leave and, you know, because they can't pay their bill, which includes their electric bill. And many of hot Saturday afternoons when we have to go clean out all of their crap, I've made the mistake of opening.
Dog, don't open it.
Yes.
Just light it on fire.
And you literally are running out, screaming like a woman and vomiting.
So Ren Dax in the chat room says he also has an automatic fillet knife. He calls it his wife. So
I don't trust no woman with a knife.
Jesus Christ. You are a Trump supporter. Great.
Hey-o.
I hope that Ren's wife is not watching this. Because that would probably not go over well.
Well, if she's watching this, then she's in this room somewhere, and that's creepy.
Well, I mean, watching the chat room. Good point, though. Though she could be in this room. Sorry, Ren.
What does she look like, Ren?
Why are you talking about a man's wife? Listen, he'll cut you.
No, his wife will cut me.
That's true.
Because he doesn't touch the knife, apparently.
All right, here we go. Biggest surprise before the buy.
Ugh.
Jesus Christ.
No, I'm not a Mark Cook, but thank you for the compliment. I don't know.
What, you have no surprises? Lord, have mercy.
You hit me up with this. I haven't thought about it.
Chat room, what was your biggest surprise before the bye?
You know, I'd say the rash of injuries. I mean, easily. Starting week one with Jaquez Smith going down. Huge. And you can't have... I mean, these are impact player injuries. Doug Martin, Luke Stocker, Jaquez Smith, Robert Ayers, Gerald McCoy, Clint McDonald. I mean,
eight starters.
I mean, it's unheard of. I don't remember a time when the Buccaneers have been, you know, kicked in the ass like this.
Expectation on return from the bye.
I think this team can get in a little bit of a roll. If you look at I think the schedule gets a little easier. Now, again, listen, teams can start playing better as the season goes on and all that. But if you look at combined record, the combined record helps a little bit through the next few games as opposed to the first, you know, five games. So I think, you know, I think this team can, if they can get healthy and stay healthy. I think Jameis can take another step. I think this defense is showing signs of life. We saw it a little bit in that Denver game, and we certainly saw it last week, granted without a Cam Newton or Jonathan Stewart. However, in years past, this team loses that football game with a healthy defense.
Ren Dax agreed with you on the injuries. We had Ryan Winfrey's biggest surprise was winning in Carolina with all the injuries. Buck Boy's biggest surprise was how many points were scored on us thus far. I think he expected a lot more out of Mike Smith's defense than
now they're 20. I think they're 27th in the league in points against. Last year I think they were worst, the worst in the league. They're getting better. Those stats are getting better. They're middle of the pack. I like 16 against the run, 19th against the pass, and high 20s in points scored. Again, that's good. That's going to change. I think this team's going to be under 20 in all of those categories when the season ends.
Thomas Sandberg mentions Jameis's play. He expected a big step forward, and it feels like it's not been a big step forward, but a lot of that may be tied to the Doug Martin injury.
It's not even a lot. It is tied. I'm telling you, again, FSU Homer, whatever you want to say. Again, in the mailbag, please go read it if you will. I said it. Listen, you can't underestimate
the power of the dark side.
You can't underestimate the size of my sword. You can't underestimate the loss of the guy who was the second leading rusher in the NFL last year. And then to have Charles Sims come in and not play particularly well. And you're playing a guy who's never started a game for you, wasn't even on the roster in week one. Listen, it handicapped this football team. There's no question about it. Jameis Winston obviously was pressing, trying to do too much in some of those games. You know, there are some things in his game that I expected a little bit better. I still think fundamentally he's got some issues. Still tends to sell the ball a little bit, drop his elbow. I mean, his footwork isn't great. But I don't know that it's ever going to be those things. And that's okay. You know, again, we've said it 1,000 times, Brett Favre. No one is doing fundamentals with Brett Favre. There's no instructional VHSs at Blockbuster when he was playing.
How to Swing the Golf Club by Jim Furyk.
Right, or Charles Barkley. Well, his results weren't very good. But you understand what I'm saying. Give Jameis Winston the next five games with a full complement of an offense, and then let's see where he is at that point.
I am not an FSU homer, as you are well aware. I don't care about FSU in any way, shape, or form.
You had to like him beating Miami, though.
I don't really
care.
By the
way,
the
U is not back. Let's just be honest here. It's in 7 years, it's still not back. Let's be honest.
Okay. I don't think either program is particularly interesting, but I wanted that to end in a 0-0 tie. That would have been my dream. Because I don't really care for either program, but I like their fans even
what
less.
What program do you like in college football?
I don't like.
I know you don't,
football.
But what don't? And I don't understand.
I don't
that
like the fans
because you
of
like,
FSU, UF, or UM. Because they're the only ones worse than FSU and UM are Gator fans.
Well,
to
that's
be honest.
True. I'm glad you at least recognize
yes,
that.
Yes, it's very true. If I had to pull for a team, it'd probably be Louisville simply because Ronnie
why,
played there.
Why? I mean, you're friends with Raider fans. To me, terrible fans. Beat the crap out of people. I
they
mean,
don't.
They're no, they do.
No, no,
they
don't.
Recently did.
No, that's San Francisco.
No, they have done it. They are nasty.
You mean people fight?
Yeah.
Yeah, people fight.
It's a very intimidating place to go. It's like Eagles fans.
Listen,
they're
you're
not
intimidated
great
to go back to Plant City.
Bottom line is, I don't give two spits about liking a team because of their fans. I don't care about their fans.
I do because I have to listen to all you guys talk about it. I have to listen to you guys prattle on about how great
then,
your team
then,
is.
Then jump in the race.
No, I don't want to. I didn't go to any of them schools.
Where did you go?
UCF. We're terrible.
We'll talk about them.
UCF. Go Knights.
Okay.
Yes. All
right.
Well, I mean, oh, no. We suck
now,
again.
Now we know. Yeah, well, that's it. That's part of the reason you hate is because your team blows.
It's so terrible.
Yeah.
All right. Anyway. Damn it. There was something I was going to say, and now I've lost it. Mark, you
were going to ask to see me on my sword.
No, I was definitely not going to ask to see your sword. That is absolutely not correct.
No.
And I know you're allowed to root for a college you didn't go to because that's just allowed, I guess. I don't know.
I mean, if you didn't, every program would fold.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, somebody's got to buy the shirts, right? Somebody's got to buy the tickets.
That is a fact. Damn it. I was going to say something, and it was even going to be interesting. I can't remember now. I'm sorry, guys. It was when we talked about the University of Miami. Why did we talk about that? Why did we get into the FSU Miami thing? I'm not an FSU
over.
I was actually going to support you. You interrupted someone. That's hard to believe.
I got to do it.
I was going to defend you, in fact, by
yeah, you're talking about James, yes,
with not being an FSU homer.
Right.
I'm not. I am a Jameis homer. This kid is special. And as a fan out there, I implore you guys, because we had, who was it who tweeted to Scott about when we were going to see Glennon during the game?
Oh.
Scott Reynolds from Peter Report literally got a tweet directed at him about when is it time to bring Glennon in.
Mm.
Listen, I know that you guys, some of you like what I have to say. Some of you think that I know a little bit of things. Some of you think I'm full of shit. That's fine, too. I will tell
count
you,
me as one.
I do know a fair amount about football, right? About football, not
right.
A football, because I also know that too. We are fortunate to have a kid like Jameis Winston on this team. Count your blessings. It's not going to be perfect. There's going to be bumpy rides, just like there were in the development of every great quarterback, right? But we're very fortunate, guys. This is a fun ride. And I was a Josh Freeman guy. Like, I know Josh personally. I know his family. I think very highly of them. Do I think how things worked out here were great? No. Do I think it could have been better? Yes. Do I think he was a victim? Partially, but I think everyone was involved. But I never had this feeling with Josh, even though physically he was pretty damn good and had the ability to sling the ball around, etc. This is special. So please, step off the ledge on Jameis. Stop busting his balls so much. He knows what's got to be fixed. He will fix it. We will take him to task on it every week that he doesn't.
Sure.
Right? Because that's what we do. But damn it, guys, we are very, very fortunate to have someone like Jameis Winston under center of this team in every possible way. And that's the other thing. All of the talk beforehand about what he was off the field and all this other bullshit that didn't exist and didn't come to light and hasn't manifested itself, we are very fortunate. So there is the sword-swallowing award, Ren. Oh, God, that's terrible. And the church says amen, says Sandberg. All right, listen. I was going to ask you some more questions, but you got all nervous, so I don't want to do that. It's coming up at 10:15. Yeah, you
no, go ahead. I don't care.
I've
only got to go home and write a story. No big deal. Go ahead.
But they're your little quick stories, right?
No, this is actually, you're going to ask, what do we got coming up?
Let's do that right now. What do you have coming up? What is the story, Mark, that you have to write after you go home, get my fish, and bring it back here, and then go back home?
We're doing our bi-week report card. And that's something we probably should have done here. Had it written the story and had it up today. We could have talked about that, but I didn't. But, the bi-week report card, I think, is something that, we used to do game grades, unit game grades after every game.
Yep.
Went back and looked at our data and things like that and decided we could utilize the space a little bit better.
Data.
Data.
We looked at our data.
So
we analyzed it on our computer.
No, we analyzed it on our calculators. But anyway, so basically that we're gonna take a look at the offense. Each unit, we're going to give them a grade, and we're gonna pick the best player through five games. And I'm just gonna go ahead and give away the quarterback one. It's gonna be Jameis.
It's interesting. We on Brent's show last night, we did the game thing just by units. major offense, defense, special teams, not breakdown offensive line. I actually had a table in my show notes tonight that had offensive line, tight ends, receivers, et cetera. But I want to wait till mid-year. I understand bye week is now, but I'm going to wait till mid-year. I need a little bit more data.
Well, look, I had five. I got 5 days to try and come up with content. So.
Oh, you'll be totally fine, man. Your content writes itself. There is a bet going in the chat room, though, the over-under on how many typos you'll have.
Is that Ryan Winfrey?
I love this show, and I love that Mark knows the people well enough to know that was Ryan Winfrey. Yeah. Yes, it was our own Eeyore, Ryan Winfrey. Happy belated birthday, by the way, Ryan.
Yeah. Happy belated birthday, Ryan.
Yes.
Hope you don't get hit by a bus tomorrow.
Be shuck, I do love the data. All right. So you got that coming up on PeterReport.com. What else is coming
That's
up on PeterReport.com?
That's it? No, offense one day, defense and coaching. Oh, actually, we're going to do offensive coaching with the offensive story.
Are you
going to
spread this out over 7 days or something?
We're going to break it down per yes. No, we're going to just do it in a couple days. You know, we've got some other stuff. Scott's taking tomorrow off from his Fab Five. Well-deserved break for him. And but we'll have some good content. We hope people check it out. We'll have this podcast. If somebody is just catching the last few minutes of it, they can check it out there or obviously go to your website and listen to the replay of it as well.
And I love that, you know, that cross-promotion thing only works when it cross-promotes. So I would love to have more of your Peter Report people, you know, participate and let us know. Like I said, I take very seriously the feedback that we get from folks. And if the content is not what you're looking for, let us know what it is that we're not doing. I can tell you things that we will never do. And make it very easy for you. We're not going to do the TMZ bullshit that seems to be popular with some other people. It's just not going to happen here. So if you're here to do that, then you're in the wrong place. There are other avenues for you to go, which is great. The ecosystem continues to grow, and the market continues to create the things that people will consume. So, but if you want what I consider to be very, very good content, this is a good spot for it, whether it's here at whatthebuck.net, on the podcast, as well as at PeterReport.com as well. You guys know how much I think about them. Now, I want to shout out our authors. I see Thomas in the chat room. We've got a ton of guys, Evan and John, putting out this really good content. I don't mean to omit anyone, but if you go out to whatthebuck.net, you'll notice this year we actually have written content, which is something we haven't done in the past because I've got a great group of authors that are putting together some really good content. They're not professional journalists like you, Mark, but they're learning. One of them's 15. Evan's a 15-year-old kid. This guy is literally just cutting his teeth. And
I think he's doing
a pretty damn good job.
Yep.
So a big shout out to those guys, and one last thing I want to do as well. I lie. I don't know why I always say one last thing and I say
JC
six
does
things.
Good too.
JC does a great job too. How did I forget JC? JC is our seasoned vet, actually.
JC's losing some weight.
He
looking
is
good.
He's looking slim.
Mind if showing my sword?
Well, he's got to do. He's probably dressed up as Doctor Who for something. So he's got to.
I mean, he's a total nerd. We know that,
dude. I love him though. He's
I do
stuff.
Too.
At any rate, I do want to say.
He's one of those Gator fans we all hate. Go ahead.
I want to thank Bill Curry Ford. I want to thank Steakhouse Elite. I want to thank Tito's Vodka. I also want to thank Pepin Distributing and Bud Light for your support. We could not do what we do. I want to thank Doug Elder, who came on as a patron of whatthebuck.net. We have changed the patron program a little bit, added a lower level that you can join, a $1 per month level. If you have not checked that out, go to the patrons link on whatthebuck.net or go to www.patreon.com/whatthebuck and learn about it. It's a way that you can sort of PBS-like support what we do. And allow us to keep more of the money that we pull in from our tailgates to go directly to the charities by offsetting our hosting costs and all the other crap that we do to keep the lights on. Because we don't do this for money, as you guys know. We do this.
Stop. I just leave it at that.
Dude,
okay,
I already got
going.
The link. I just couldn't get to come up on the Hillsborough County
all
website.
Right,
listen, I'm telling you, the memes are going to be breathtaking tomorrow.
I'm telling you, if people do that, I'm never coming on the show again.
Does the Pope win? Oh, that's not true.
That is true.
Oh, my gosh.
Hey, I know it's not bad, but you got to think it is a reputation thing. I don't need
then
people.
Then why did you say it on the podcast?
It was fun. It was Radio Gold.
It is Radio Gold.
We don't
that's
need
what
the
memes
would
be even better.
No, the meme, that's not true.
All right, well, don't make any memes of Mark, whatever you do.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ. Not Jesus Christ, Mark.
Thank you.
All right. Well, I want to thank you listeners who came in live. I want to thank the podcast listeners out there as well. I will clean up the screw up at the beginning. Enjoy the watching the rest of the Color Rush game, whoever's playing. I hear the Lightning are up 4-3. Tyler Johnson took the advantage and got us the 4-3 lead, so that's good. We got Lightning hockey going on. We will be
good
taking a
break
next
week. Good thing is it's the only game all year.
Yeah, yeah.
There won't be any more Lightning games.
It's one of 1,000 games.
Right. Are we going to a game this year? I know you and Nick go. Do you get season tickets? Or you guys
no,
just
no,
buy
I've got
tickets
friends,
occasionally?
I've got friends who have tickets, and sometimes I get a chance. Yeah, I absolutely love to go to a game with you.
Okay.
You can probably get credentialed. Claim that you're a pewter stick or something, and you'd be fine. That should be a good name.
The Blue Report.
A good name for the ginger badass.
No,
the pewter
stick. I can't get credentials, but I'm telling you, people always like people say, why didn't you get a credential for the Florida State USF game or Florida State Ole Miss? And I was like, you've been in the press box. It's not
terrible.
The atmosphere is not fun for fans.
It's even worse at Amelie because you're in the rafters.
You literally.
It is terrible.
You take a service elevator.
Oh, yeah. I've been there. I know.
I mean, it's a unique experience. When I was at 98.7 The Fan, I did take them up on that and go a few times. And they're great. They do a fabulous job with the media. Yep. They do a fabulous job with the fans when I go as just a fan. Hopefully I'll be going some this year. We're partnered up with 620, of course, and they're a big sponsor as well. So maybe they'll hook me up with some tickets if anybody's listening.
They have tickets to everything.
Yes.
Though they're canceling local shows, which is yet another great decision by that group of people.
Let me just say, I've got a little insight on that. It was not a local decision.
I'm sure it wasn't.
Yeah.
I'm sure it wasn't. But and my counter to the local crowd is, and for you guys that are podcast listeners that aren't local, I know that you guys were upset. And I didn't particularly care for the morning show, to be honest. It wasn't one of my favorites. I didn't listen to it regularly.
See, I thought it was outstanding.
And I just didn't. It's a matter of, subjective. It's like art, right? But it was local, and it was important. Those shows only stay on if you support them, guys. You have to support their sponsors. You have to support the things that keep their lights on. So
listen,
if you are lamenting
Report
the
is going to stay on as long as people support it. Same thing with What the Buck. I mean, if we don't have the support, we can't keep doing it.
And people in the chat room right now are saying they miss 98.7 The Fan. And I know a lot of people who feel that way. Like, right. I cut my teeth on 1010 that became 98.7. It was the other guys, right? We're not going to fall.
But how many people miss 910 WFNS?
No one knows.
First
what that is.
All sports station in
no one,
Tampa.
No
yes,
one
you
knows.
Do.
No.
Yes.
No, no. I don't remember. It's the concussions.
Really?
It's the concussions.
Huh. Used to be WPLA in Plant City where I got my radio start in 1988.
No one knows about radio in Plant City. It's all shortwave.
ham radio.
Ham radio.
We talk to people overseas over shortwave.
And aliens.
Yes.
But all kidding aside, guys, if you want local stuff, you got to support it, guys. Yeah. And that's not a cry for you to support What the Buck or Pewter Report, but if you want
it
to,
is
you should
a cry
support them too.
I'm saying it's a cry.
But we as consumers can make that happen. To the question Dax asked in the chat room, there will not be a podcast next week. I will be taking off a week as well to hang out with my fam. Though we will have a game coming up that next week, so we should probably do something quick next week, right? We'll figure it out.
What do you mean quick? It's
we can do
nothing.
Not an hour and a half show. We could do something on Twitter. Like the Twitter stuff has been very popular. The Periscope via Twitter has been very popular. So we'll figure it out. You guys let me know what you want us to do. Actually, give us some feedback.
If you want us to do a show, maybe we do a show.
Listen, let us know. Talk to us on Twitter. Pump up the Twitter.
I've tried to get out of this the last 4 or 5 weeks, and I always, come. Like today, and again, last week I was very sick, and I'm still getting over the cold doing the Donald Trump. You would be in jail. But
I would arrest you for no reason that I can come up with and rules that I don't know.
You're the president. I mean, you're the dictator. You can make up whatever you want. But today, was an early morning 5:30 wake up call to fish and then to get home and I kind of fell asleep. And then I had to clean all of these fish and then I had to clean coolers and blah 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 and I was
then you had to pack the fried fish
and
bring them over.
Cook the fried fish, eat the fried fish and I've got a kidney stone that is on the verge of making its appearance. You know how women like, I'm dilated, but not quite enough. Little baby's going to be showing up any day now. Well, that's where I am with this
crowning.
Kidney stone.
I believe it's called crowning.
And I always wondered.
Your kidney stone is crowning?
And let me ask you this. Why do they always check women's eyes when they're having a pregnancy? They're getting ready to give birth. Oh, we're dilated 3 centimeters. I'm like, what do your eyes have to do with this? Absolutely nothing, ladies. So stop looking for sympathy.
You have the same knowledge of women that your candidate has. This is terrific.
Yes, exactly.
If you guys don't appreciate this kind of banter, you're in the wrong place. Because his kidney stone crowning is one of the funnier things I think I've ever heard.
I thought the dilating thing was good too, but no, it's crowning and it's gonna pop and you
please
will hear
let it
me
not be here.
You will hear me screaming. Can I tell you about the time I dropped one in the urinal at One Buccaneer Place?
For the love of God,
Greg Schiano took us out to dinner or lunch one day at Ruth's. I don't understand why it's not Ruth Chris, but
because
it's Ruth's Chris
because Ruth bought Chris Steakhouse.
I never figured that
it's
out.
Possessive.
Thank you. So. I'm going to need you to help me on that so I don't have any typos and Ryan Winfrey doesn't have anything to say.
No problem.
So, but Greg, we got hired and during the spring he took us out and I'd been suffering with a kidney stone that had been moving and stopping and moving. And I went back to One Buccaneer Place, Scott and I did for something. Oh, he was going to be on NFL Network. So we went there and actually, when local writers are on NFL Network or ESPN, they shoot it. The Buccaneers have a couple little small media rooms and they've got it set up where they can go back and forth to Bristol or wherever it is. So anyway, so I'm hurting on and off. I was able to eat the, you know, $50 steak. Thank you very much, Greg Schiano. But we got back to One Buccaneer Place, and I was driving, and I was squirming. I was told Scott, I was like, I got to go. I was like, I'm going to go take a leak real quick. So and everybody's had a kidney stone. People think that when it comes out, it hurts. No, that is the greatest feeling in the world. It's when it leaves your kidney and travels to your bladder that it hurts. You can literally feel it drop from your, I forgot what that's called, the thing that goes from your kidney to your bladder. But you can literally feel it drop into your bladder, and you pop it out. And that's wonderful. That's the greatest feeling in the world. So anyway, I was going, and I was hurting, and all of a sudden, ureter, foomp, it goes, think. And I reach in there and I grab that sucker because I want, and it is the size of a piece of granola. This is not a tiny kidney stone, biggest one I ever had. So anyway, I have no idea why I just told that story, but it's true. Listen, but anybody who's had a kidney stone knows that the best feeling, it doesn't hurt coming out, it hurts moving to come out.
Well, I'll tell you what, I think you got one up in the chat room, our boy KR Sloan, one in the chat room said he lost a testicle. I've asked him where the last place he saw it was. We have not gotten an answer yet. Thomas asked if it was in Nam. There's a lot of real helpful queries that are being thrown around in the chat room. Our listeners are extremely helpful.
Yeah.
There
was a guy on Howard Stern one time who lost both of his testicles and his unit water skiing. He hit a pole. That just sounds like the worst possible way.
Terrible.
First of all, it's the worst thing in the world to lose your sword and your twigs or your berries.
Twig and your berries.
So, but to do it water skiing at 30 miles an hour.
Total weird transition. Our boy Paul Stewart from buckpower.com carded another hole in one.
You know, I'm not buying anything he says. What do they play on a mini golf course? I got to see this guy. He comes over here once a year. We always go to Leroy Selman's. He always orders the hamburger, no bun, so basically eats a piece of hamburger meat.
Do realize he can't eat ground beef in the UK because of the foot and mouth crap. They don't eat beef the same way we do there. Huh. That's probably the best thing he's ever eaten. They also, for all of the advancements of the UK, still don't know what the hell salt is.
Well, why doesn't he just throw another shrimp on the Barbie? That's what I don't understand about him.
They learned that after they sent the criminals to Australia.
Oh.
Kurt told us that.
Okay, thank you,
Kurt. McDonald told us that.
Who's constantly updating Facebook with cricket results. But anyway.
I don't even know if that's a game.
I don't believe it is either. Nor do I believe that Paul Stewart plays actual golf. Not on a real course.
All right. Well, listen, we've been babbling a little bit, but it's fun. We appreciate you guys
being
here.
Remember the par 3 course in Lakeland? Did you ever play over there behind
Publix? The one over Publix?
Yeah.
Yeah, the executive course?
God, that was fun.
Yeah, par 3 is fun. At any rate, we will see you guys next week somehow. Who knows how. Hit us up on Twitter. Let us know if you want a show or you want an instant cast or whatever the hell Brent calls them on Twitter. I don't care what we call them. We'll do something to get you guys some information.
Can we change it from skulls and swords to, like, helmets and thongs?
Goods and bads.
And we wear, like,
yays
Speedos for
yays
a show.
Yays and nos. The Bolts won. 6-4 or 6-3 or 5-3 or something. I don't know. They got 6-4
poor,
is the final.
Poor Detroit fans.
Yeah, Red Wings. I hate the Red Wings. All right.
Losers.
Well, thanks for joining us this week. Thanks, Mark, for coming over again. Make sure you get to pewreport.com. Check them out. Make sure you get to whatthebuck.net. Check us out. And have a great time. And hopefully you guys have a good weekend and enjoy this victory until we come back next week. How somehow.
Yeah. Yeah. Scoo-woo. Yeah. Well, like bugs running, man, I think that's all, folks. My man Oaks just shut down another show. Same day, same time for the past 11 years. Guess what? Next week, we gon' be right here talking about the Bucks and having a good time. We give it to you straight, don't need to be between the lines. The beat drop hard every time I hit the nine. And if you didn't know it, this is Sprinkle on the Rhymes. Yeah. 11 years strong, y'all. It's the What the Buck podcast. My man Derek, they call him Old School. Nothing can stop us, man. It's what the buck. It's what the buck. Yeah. It's what the buck. Yeah. It's what the buck, man. Nothing can stop us, man. It's what the buck.